Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We're holding Nun Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amid. The good news is that the major part of Tagri Lud was yesterday, and therefore today's Gemara is much easier. Back in the Mishnah we learned, if you'd like to turn back just for a short moment, to Mem Tes Amid Beis. When it comes to Hilchos Einor, says the Mishnah, "Ad Mosay Mutar LaHachzir." How long can you go and change your mind? Akedishiyar LaTager Oyle Kroivoy. As long as it takes to go and show to a merchant or to a korev who understands these things. We said yesterday we just gave an arbitrary number, maybe 2 hours, whatever. Small window of opportunity for the lekiach to run back to the moicher and say, "Hey, moicher, you overcharged me." And depending on whether it's less than I know, today I know, or more than I know, would have different halachic ramifications. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Amr of Nachman, Nun Amid Beis on the bottom, Loishona El Lekeach. Lekeach, he is the one that has this window of opportunity to go to the Tagar or to the Kroivoy. Ava Moicher, Li Oilam Choyze, the Moicher, however, he can go and change his mind forever and ever. What's the difference between the moicher and the lekech? So Rashi explains very simply, based on the Gemara that we're going to see in another few lines on the Amid Aleph, because for the lekech, it's much simpler for him to go and show whether or not he was overcharged. He'll take the item that he just bought, whether it's a watch, whether it's a kos, whether it's a fountain pen, whatever. He'll take it to the Tagar, he'll show it to him, and say to him, "Tell me, what is the market price for this item?" The market price is $6. $6! I spent $7. Oi! I added one extra dollar, that's a shtus, and the person was ma'anami me. He deceived me, he cheated me, etc. But let's talk about the moicher. The moicher who sold that fountain pen, or that watch, or that cost, or whatever. And he sold it for $5 instead of the going rate, $6. And therefore, he's quite upset. He goes to the Tagar and says, "Tagar, how much should this item have cost?" And the Tagar says, "Which item?" "You know, the one that I just sold this morning to Lekech. You got to show it to me, because I don't know whether that item is worth 5 or 6 or 7 or 10. Show me the cost. How big? How heavy? Show me the watch. Show me this, show me that." And so on and so forth. Was ichte? Okay. So, says Rashi, let's take a look at the Rashi, two lines on the bottom. Loishonu, what's the shira b'kdei shiyara? To show, el lekeach, shemekchoi biyoda v'yochel haroisa. The mekach is in his hands, and he can go and show it. Moicher ein biyoda ma'ala harois. He doesn't have it in his hands. He's not able to go and show it to the Tagar and say, "Tagar, how much is this cost worth? How much is this pen worth?" Because he doesn't have it anymore. He sold it. So how, in fact, will he ever show it to the Tagar? He's going to see another talis. In other words, if the item that he sold was a talis, and the talis was exactly 50 inches by 90 inches, and it had no atara on it, and it was made in Eretz Yisrael, and it had tzitzis kofel shmoina, and it had hashkocha from the bedatz, etc. And then he sees an identical talis, well, exactly the same size, and all the same hashkochas, and it looks exactly the same. So he takes that to the Tagar and says, "Tagar, how much would you charge for such a talis?" "Not how much I would charge. The market rate is $6 for a talis like that." Today, of course, talis costs more than $6. Anyway, "And how much did the guy charge you?" "He charged me $7.50. "Wow, he charged me more than shir." "I know, actually in the case of the moicher, it's the other way around. The guy only paid me for my $6 talis, he only gave me $5 or $4.50. Ooh, so the moicher, it was nisana. So that's why the reason why, just finishing off the Rashi, he finds out that this talis was worth really much more than what he sold it for. You can always have charata, even a year later. But Rashi points out that there's something known as inflation. If prices have gone up, that's a different story. But if prices have remained stable for the last year or two or three, and he goes to the Targa, and Targa says, I charged the same amount a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Anyway, so that's why the Moicher, he has a larger window of opportunity. Now I know that some of you are thinking to yourselves, but since this happens to be a talis seller or merchant, doesn't he know the price after all? He's in the business of selling talisim. Shouldn't he know? How is he ever nis'ana? So Mi'at Shishem, we're going to address that question a little bit further down. If you want to just skip to the next Mishnah, which we're going to have halfway down, Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about, the Mishnah is going to address, Kishem Sh'aynob Lehejoit, Kach Aynob Letagar. Oh, there are rules for Hejoitim, rules for Tagorim. Hejoit means a person who's not a professional seller. He just happens to have gotten a shipment, and he wants to go and sell a couple of things to be able to make a couple of dollars. So we're going to talk about this more in Mi'at Hashem on the Amud Aleph. But the point that we understand now is, if you have a person who's a moicher, who's not a professional merchant, he doesn't own a talis store where he sells 50 talisim a week, but he just happens to, maybe he put the talis together himself. He or his wife wove the talis. He himself strung the talis and put the tzitzis on it, etc. So he doesn't know how much this is going for in the marketplace. Somebody visits him and says, hey, Yanko, this is a beautiful talis. Where do you get it from? What do you mean, where did I get it from? I made it myself. My wife and I, we stayed up overnight. We wove the whole talis, and I put the strings on a alis and l'shem, and l'shem with kedushas, tzitzis, and all the rest. L'shem mitzvah. Well, he doesn't know how much it's really going for. See, now he sells it to the guy, and afterwards he finds out, what a shoiter I was. I was underpaid, overworked and underpaid. This talis is really worth $6, and I only charged the guy $4.50 or $5. I didn't know! So he doesn't have the talis anymore in his hands. However, when he goes to the merchant and finds out what a comparable talis is worth, then even a year later he can come back and say, hey, you owe me money. Anyway, Zukti Mora, this was the halacha of Rav Nachman. Name Mesaile, let's try to bring a raya to Rav Nachman. Now we go back for a short moment to the famous Tagre Lud and to Reb Tarfon. That initially all of the Tagre Lud ran after Reb Tarfon as if he's the Naya Rebbe, because he said that the amount of Aino is no longer sixth, it's a third. But when they heard that Reb Tarfon said that you can have Charata up till the entire day, Kol HaYoyin, then they said, forget about it, we're going back to the Chum. So let's understand. If you're going to go and tell me the Moicher always can change his mind, even a year later, 5 years later, he can always change his mind. Then I can understand why they left Reb Tarfon, who had said that the shear for the keach is not a shear of Kadesh Yara. It's a full day. Forget about it. I want it to be as quickly as possible. I want this deal to be closed without any further complications, without any further complaints. When he says, Agansetug, it's not worth it. I'd rather go back to the Chacham. El Iyam is Moichen Namika Lekeach Dom. If you're going to go and tell me Moichen has the same halacha just like Lekeach, meaning that until now, they always had the Kadesh Yar. And now as a result of Reb Tarfon, it's not a Kadesh Yar for the Lekeach, but also for the Moicher, that Reb Tarfon said it's no longer just at 1 or 2 hours window of opportunity, you have the whole day. In other words, Moicher and Lekeach are exactly the same. If that's the case, my Nafkalumina, why do the Tagre Lut care? Kehechli Avli Rabbanan Takanta Lekeach, Hachanami Avli Rabbanan Takanta Lemoicher. Meaning, if you were going to tell me, like Rav Nachman said, that the Moicher has the Oilam forever, so then when Reb Tarfon expanded the Kadesh Yar LeTagor standard to Kol HaYoyim, then the Tagre Lud said, oi, that's terrible. That means I sold this talis 9 o'clock in the morning. This person's going to drain me a cup at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I want to close my shop already. I want to go to learn. And this Lekech is going to come. So when they heard that Reb Tarfon expanded it the whole day, forget about it. I'd rather stay with a Chacham, a smaller window of shtus and not shlish, as long as I know in 2 hours I'm done with this and I'm finished and I move on to the next customer. But if you're going to go and tell me that vis-a-vis the moicher, you have, so that's vis-a-vis the lekech. Vis-a-vis the moicher, you have even a year or 2 years or 5 years. It's le'oil. So then the moicher was upset. The Tagri Lud were upset that the Reb Tarfet expanded the window of the complaint department from 2 hours to the whole day. That's very understandable. But if you're going to go and tell me that moicher and lekech are exactly the same, meaning that before Reb Tarfet came on the scene, both of them are kedei shiyara. Both of them only are this 2 hour window. And now Reb Tarfet said that both of them have a whole day, so instead of being upset about the fact that we've expanded the window from 2 hours to a whole day, they should have said, okay, listen, I'm not happy about that, but I have the same rights as well, that in any situation where I am the seller, and I feel that I have been cheated, that I haven't gotten paid enough, I'm also expanding from 2 hours to the whole day. So, why did they decide to leave Reb Tarfet and go back to Rabbanah? So top of the Amr. Eliyamas Moichanami Kilekech told me that they have exactly the same shira. That according to the Chachamim, it's Kadesh Shiara. And according to Reb Tarfet, it's the whole day. My Nafkumina, why does it make a difference to them when Reb Tarfet expanded the 2 hours to a full day? Kihech the Avdi Rabbanan Takant Lekech, just like there's a Takana for the Lekech, meaning that we expanded it from 2 hours to the whole day, is Okanami Avdi Rabbanan Takant on the Moicher. The Moicher also has now a full day. So why did they go and jump ship from Reb Tarfet and go back to the Rabbanan? Every Mara doesn't Nishka Kasha. Tagri Lud loishchiach the toy. The Tagri Lud were very shrewd businessmen. They knew their prices. They knew their merchandise. They knew their customers. The likelihood that they are going to be underpaid is very, very limited. It might happen once in a yoivo. So therefore, doesn't make a difference whether it's 2 hours or a full day. When's the last time they have to worry about being cheated? However, since they happen to be such expert machrim, it happens very often that it could happen from time to time that the lekech feels that he has been overcharged and he's going to try to run back. So if you give him only 2 hours, okay, so I have to worry about this deal maybe falling apart 2 hours. However, once 2 hours are over, Baruch Hashem, gepatid, I'm finished, I'm on to my next customer. So L'chayra have a good terai to Rav Nachman that the moicher, the oilam choizer, and it's not the same as lekech. And the Gemara gives us now two or three different examples, ma'aseh shehayu. So first we start off with Ushpezichne, that's the innkeeper of Rami Bar Chama, where Rami Bar Chama was staying. Zovin Chamra sold wine, vita'a, and made a mistake. What is the mistake that the person made? That the lekeach underpaid. And now he heard that the standard price for barrels of wine before Pesach is now $100 a barrel, and he sold it for, the marshal, $75, and he's very upset. Oy vey vey, I lost $25. Amalei zvini, so he asked Amalei, Amai atzivis, why are you so sad? Amalei zvini chamra v'toy, I sold the wine, I made a mistake, and ay. Amalei zil hanabach, why don't you go back to lekeach and say, I want my wine back, and I'm giving you back your $75, because there was oyna over here. It's already past 2 hours. It's already the afternoon, or it's already the next day, or the next week, and that's why I'm so sad. It's too late. I missed the window of opportunity. He sent the shada to Rav Nachman. Remember who was the one that said this word on the bottom of Nunamid Beis? It was Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, Leishonu. So they went back to Rav Nachman. Amalei, Rav Nachman repeated his halacha, Leishonu Lekech. A moicher li'olam choizer. A moicher can always change his mind. And we asked before, why can the moicher always change his mind? My timer, as Rashi explained in the Amid Beis, Lekeach mekchoi biyodoi. To the lekeach, he has the barrel of wine in his hand. Kol heicha di ozel machvilei. The amrilei. Ito iloita. He can go to any wine merchant in town, show him the barrel. He'll look at the barrel and say, oh, this is Concord wine from 50 years ago. It commands this and this price, and therefore you've been overcharged. So he can go back immediately and say, I spoke to the wine merchants in town, and they told me I was overcharged, because He has the wine in his hand. He doesn't have the wine barrel in his hand. Ad misramali zvinte kizvinte. We have to find now an identical barrel of wine that looks just the same vintage and the same processors and the same type of kankan and all the rest. No, v'yeda, and he'll know. Ito iloito. That could take a while. Therefore, since the lekeach has the merchandise, he can show it 1, 2, 3. You better go 1, 2, 3 to your tagger if you have any doubts whether you've been overcharged or not. But the moicher, he doesn't have the same barrel of wine because he sold it already. So until he finds another one which is identical, may take some time. Therefore, Rav Nachman said that moicher li oilam chayz. There was a person who had a knock at Varashchi Lizvuni. He was selling Varashchis. What are Varashchis? The fourth line from the top of the Rashi. Kishure Meshi Shekoyren Bentlish. In other words, like Bendelach. Bendelach are like no, a Bendel is like a very narrow belt. So you could have, or you could think of Bendelach like ribbons or ties. So he had these ties which were made out of Meshi. Meshi means out of silk. So silk ties. Can you imagine? When he gave out his shlachmunis, besides putting on the rolls and rolls of cellophane on the top, they tied it together with these beautiful silver ties, with that silver silk ties, and because of that, the price of the shlachmunis was double what it should have been. Anyway, but the point is that he had these ties, and he sold them. He was selling these silk ties. It's not ties like you wear in front of your shirt, but you know, to go and tie a package, a ribbon, something like that. Anyway, Kori Shita Vishav Yechamsha. It was really only worth 5, and he was selling it for 6. You remember that was totally the machlokes yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, you only have a din of Shtus Mekach. Here we're talking about a Shtus Mo'os. Had they been worth 6, and he was selling them for 7, that would have been a no of 1/6. Here we're talking about that they were only worth 5, and he sold them for 6. So according to Rav, that would already be more than Oino, because it's a fifth. According to Shmuel, it's Shtus Mo'os, because I paid 6, and 1 out of the 6 is the amount of Oino. Anyway, so he was selling them, but they were really Shav Yechamisha, they're really worth 5. He was calling out, in other words, he put posters up in town saying, I'm selling them for 6. However, the Hav Yavle Chamisha Upalga, people knew that this was a negotiated price, that if somebody would offer instead of 5 or 6, 5.5, have a shock, he would take it. He would say, okay, fine, it's a deal, we'll take 5.5. Okay, so if it would have been 5.5, of course, that would not have been a case of oino, and what would be the din? You would be moichel. Like we said in the Gemara yesterday, had a drove a paskin, if it's less than the shir oino, then the mekach is kayim, and you're stuck. You, the purchaser that overpaid by the 50 cents. Okay, I feel bad for you. But lemaisa, there's no din of oino, you don't get your money back. So this person, Asahu Gavra, a person who's going to buy, we have now two Ahu Gavras, Ahu Gavra who's the seller, and now we have Ahu Gavra who's the buyer, the Omar, and this buyer had just learned our perek, and he says to himself, the Omar, if I agree for 5.5, have you mechila? I'm going to lose my half because there's no way I can get that half back. It's less than the shir oino, right? How much is 50 cents out of 5? It's 10%. The shir oino is 16 2/3%, 1/6. So the person says to himself, if I say 5.5, and afterwards I want to get my half a dollar back, guess what? I'm not going to be able to. It's mechila. You know what? I'm going to give him the price that he has demanded, the 6. And then I'm going to go to Bezin, and I'm going to go and say, hey, you overcharged me. The charge should have only been 5. And he is charging me $6. So Zakti Gemara, what should I do? I'm going to go and pay him the 6. And therefore, afterwards, I'm going to go to Bezin. So Taka, that's what he did. He paid him the 6. Also, come to the Rav, comes in front of the Rav. Omalei, the Rav said, Leishona elevakeach min atagar. All of the dinim of oino only apply when you buy from a tagger, from a professional merchant. There are no dinim of oino by balabayis. What does that mean, there's no dinim of Einor b'balabais? So Rashi tells us that when a person goes and has his own personal effects, he's not a professional seller. He just has his own personal effects and he is selling them, then he has a sentimental attachment to them. In fact, maybe these are Varashchi that he got from his mother, or from his Eltezede, or they stam from the Baal Shem, or from the Vilna Goyen, or who knows what. There's a special sentimental value attached to it, sentimental emotions. In that case, then there's no din of Einor, because he says, if you buy the Varashchi in the store, okay, you're right, they only cost $5. But these Varashchi, either I worked on them, I sweated on them, or these were preserved from a previous generation. Let's take a look at the Rashi Bibalabayas. It's the first of the narrow lines of the Rashi Bibalabayas. Tachshit uklei tashmish shaloi chaviven olav. When you're talking about tachshitim, different types of jewelry or other klei tashmish, other personal effects that people use, chaviven olav, there's a certain sentimental attachment. He sells them only biyoiker for a higher amount. The Havelation of Mepharish, it's as if he said, Befedish, I know that I'm overcharging you vis-a-vis the market rate. Ki Mepharish, like we're going to learn in Miyat Hashem on the Amid days, the Amrina, the Kamon, we're going to talk about on the bottom of the Amid and onto the top of the Amid days, can you stipulate that even though there is Einor, will you waive the Einor? I know that I'm overcharging you. I'm telling you that I'm overcharging you. Are you willing to go and waive that? If he says yes, then the purchaser is stuck. So says Rashi, that when a person buys from a balagoz, it's implicit that he's telling him, I know I'm overcharging you, but the reason is because of the sentimental attachment that I have to these particular varashchi that I'm selling you. And now the Gemara has another maisa, which is almost word for word the same, as you'll see. Who gavad av nokit kipi lizvuri. What a kipi, says Rashi, nizamim. Nizamim are rings. Often nizam are defined as nose rings, but nizamim also is a more inclusive term, not only nose rings, but also general rings, like you wear on fingers, etc. Anyway, so who gavad av nokit kipi lizvuri. He's selling rings. Kori shitin, they're worth in the market 60. I'm sorry. Kori shitin, he is announcing, he is selling them for 60. B'shavi chamshin. But if you went to a jeweler, he would only charge you 50. So therefore, once again, it's just like Shmuel. We have, it's not a shtus mekach, it's a shtus mo'ois, because it's not that they're really worth 60 and he's selling it for 70. That would be a shtus mekach, a tenth of the purchase price. Here, the purchase price is 50, and therefore the adding another 10 is really adding 20%, not just a shtus, it's really adding a fifth. However, according to Shmuel, this is also called shtus mo'ois, because he's paying 60. If a person were to pay 60, then it's 10 out of 60, it's a shtus. Anyway, says Gemara Nochmo, it was really worth 50. He is selling it for 60. Do you have the havi lei chamshin b'chamsha? What happens if somebody offered him 55? Abishachal, he would take the 55. Also, gav Rabbi Omar, so a very wise, smart purchaser says, ihim lei chamshin b'chamsha, if I'm going to pay him 55, havi mechila. Since it's only 10%, it's less than I know, I'm going to lose that extra 5. Oh, etan lei sheet, and I'm going to give him 60. And then Rabbi Ladina, then I'm going to go and take him to Bezin and say, hey, he's overcharged me by 10. Also, the comment of Chizda. So the previous story was he came in front of Rava. Here he comes in front of Rav Chizda. Amalein Rav Chizda told him the same thing. Lo yishonam lekeach mena tagar. Lekeach mena balabayis ein lo olav einoa. Why is it no einoa? Like Rashi said before, because of the sentimental attachment, the moich will only sell it for something higher. And now the Gemara says, it's not only Rav. And it's not only Rav Chizda. Amalein Rav Dimi yosha good gezot, good kepaskit. We have in the Mishnah, which we're going to learn in another minute, in Yetz Hashem, Kishem Shaino Lehedgen Kachano LeTagar. You see that Hedgen and Tagar have the exact same din. And now you're telling me Hedgen has no din of Aino. He can charge whatever he wants. The sky is the limit. Man Man Hejid, what's the definition of Hejid? La Balabais, isn't that the Balabais that we're talking about until now, that a Balabas sells his own private effects? And you're telling me that the halacha of Aino does apply, not like Rav Chisda, not like Rav, and not like Rav Dimi, etc. Rav Chisda b'tzad riyasa. When did they say in the Mishnah, which we're going to learn in another moment, that Hedyot and Tagar are the same, when the Hedyot is not selling something which has a sentimental attachment to it, but he's selling stam regular goods? If you look at Rashi, Tzad Yasa, right before the Mishnah, it's big de kanbus, ho'indemli mocher. Person bought, you can have a private individual, he wants to make an extra couple of dollars to, you know, make ends meet and to be able to pay the rent and to have kind of second job. So he goes to a wholesaler and he buys from him 50 big de kanbus, and he's going to go and sell them a Mirta Shema. Let's say these are canvas shoes, and he specially buys them right before the 9 days to be able to go and to sell people that they should have canvas shoes for purposes of Tisha B'Av or right before Yom Kippur. So he knows that there's a market for it at that time, and he's going to quickly sell it. So there's no sentimental attachment to it. He's just like a tagar. He's a private guy selling it from his basement or from his garage, but he has the same thing like a tagar. That's why it says in our Mishnah, it makes no difference who you are, you're selling standard goods. Oh, his own personal things that he himself manufactured, that he bought when he got married, he got it a chasana present, he arshened it from his grandfather, whatever, something which is very personal and sentimental. The nature of the person is, he's not going to sell it unless he gets a nice profit. Otherwise, Soloin Tzachanishi rather holds on to these precious personal effects.
I still don't understand, after all this, why Tagor sells the oil of poison. Tagor is supposed to know this merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And if he decided to give a sale, if Gavin makes a sale at half price, he cannot claim to the customer, and the customer to come back and pay me the 50% discount that I gave you. I made a sale.
Rabbi, I hear you loud and clear. If you go back to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said Leshono El Lekech Avol Moicher the Oyvim Choyzer. He didn't distinguish between a balabas or between a tagar. So presumably, what Rav Nachman is saying is the major halacha, the major takana they made were for mochrim generally, and since they didn't want to go and make a difference between one and the other, like the Mishnah says, Kishem Sheino Lehedik Kachino the Tagar. So tagar also has that benefit, that moicher the oilum choisim. But it could be that the original takana was made principally for moichrim that are quote-unquote amateurs, not professional merchants. And therefore, once they made the takana, they swept up everybody in this takana, even a person who was a professional merchant. In other words, lots
of... You cannot make a sale then. Every time you make a sale, you can have karate.
Every time you have a... You can only say that if, in fact, you were gypped. Hopefully he knows what the price is. You know, the moicher presumably is not a fool, and he finds out in the marketplace what's the general going rate for these types of items, and if he's going to overcharge, he himself is at risk. He should go and charge the regular amount and don't overcharge. If he will overcharge, of course, he causes the lekech to lose out, and at the same time, he should be careful on his goods not to undercharge and then suffer a loss. So we say to him, since you are suffering a loss and you don't have the merchandise to show to the tagar because you already sold it, so we give you an opportunity, if and when you find another item which is exactly the same, that you can go at that time and complain and try to get your item back. Anyway, on to the next mission. The halacha of Aino is a two-way street. It's not only vis-a-vis the lekech, but also vis-a-vis the moicher. And kishem shano the hedjit, kachino the tagar. Just like there's Aino for hedjit, also the same thing applies to a tagar, as we just discussed a moment ago, but we're going to discuss it further in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain't Aino the tagar. No, by tagar there is no such thing as Aino. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean by that? There'll be a machloikis in the Gemara. And finally, the Mishnah ends off, Mishutal Olav, Yoda Olav Yoina, whoever was, the Hutal Olav means whoever was Nisana, whoever was cheated and overcharged, or in the case of the moicher underpaid, who the person paid him less than it was really worth, mishalot al of yadai al ol yaini ratzayim alai ratenli ma'oisai ratenli mash anisami. The moicher can go and say, "Give me back my money," or not the moicher. The lekeach can say, "You've gypped me. I want back either my money or give me back the amount of the overcharge." So that's what we spoke about already yesterday. We're going to speak about again today that a person who is nesane exactly a shtus, he has two options. One option is he says, "Mister, I want my entire money back. This was $6. You charged me $7. Give me back the $7. I give you back the talis. I give you back the merchandise that you sold me. Ten lima oisai." Or you can say, "I'm happy with the talis. It fits. It's good. It's fine. But you overcharged me $1. So give me back that $1. So note that we are talking about a case of a lekeach. He says, "Ten lima oisai, give me back my money." I only note that because that would be significant when we get to the Gemara. Okay, so we start off the Mishnah, both lekeach and the moicher. Menorah Nimili, how do I know? The Torah Rabbanan says in the pasuk, "Chisimkul mimkul amisecha," and the pasuk says, "Oy konoy miyad amisecha." That's in parentheses. Al toinu ishes achiv. Oh, v'chisimkul. If you're a moicher and you're selling something to a fellow person, don't cheat. Ain the avishin nisan lekeach, because the moicher chisimkul mimkul. Nisan a moicher minayin. How do I know if the moicher is cheated? Tamli oy konoy miyad amisecha. Al toinu. Oh, the lack of. But you know, it goes both ways. Both whether you're the seller or the buyer, make sure that the other party is not cheated. And it's necessary to go and say both lekeach and moicher, both in the pasuk as well as in the Mishnah. Why is it necessary? Also, Rachman and moicher would only say moicher, that's because, as Rabbi has been saying a few times this morning, he knows what the amount is, and therefore, when he sells it, he knows that he's overcharging. We tell him, "Mister, you're not allowed to overcharge." He knows what the amount is. After all, the kech doesn't buy this item every day of the week. He only buys it once in a yovel type of situation. He doesn't know what the real price is. I would think maybe there is no such thing. Then maybe the din only applies one way, only by the lekeach, but not by the moicher. And therefore, emolai as rechmanu b'loy tayin. That's why the Torah has to say, "Don't cheat," because rechmanu lekeach would only say lekeach, mishum the kakani, because he is the purchaser. The amri inchi people have an expression, zavnis. You bought, kanisa. You have acquired. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, because there are a lot of people that have money, and they spend it and waste it on nonsense. And therefore, yes, he earned this week $100 for working, and then in 5 minutes, he splurged and he wasted the entire $100. And so he no longer has it. However, if you are a customer and you buy an item, Kanisa, now you've acquired something. You know for a fact that you're not going to waste your funds on X, Y, and Z, because now you have something for your money. You put something on the table and Baruch Hashem, you have it. Ava moicher, the other moicher is the other way around. Avudika moivit. A moicher is losing. Whatever he is selling is no longer going to have. And the Amri Inchi people have an expression, zavim, you sold. Oivit, you lost. Why did you lose when you sold? Because when you sold an item, until now you had that item. Lamushal, if you have your kus that you've been using now for the last 20 years, Friday nights for Kiddush, and now you go and sell it, and now you're going to get the money, what are you going to do with the money? If you immediately turn the money around and buy another kasa or another item, it's good. That's what we said. Zavnis kanisa. But what happens if you sell the kasa and now you have the $100 and then you're just going to splurge it on nonsense, on silly expenses? Then you lost it. So therefore, the Torah is telling you that both whether it's lekech in the marketplace or the moichanalak marketplace, be careful not to either overcharge or not to underpay. Zuki Morvaita, the Meforshim ask on this last tikkun about the moicher davudi kamoivid, the amad imchi zoven oivid, that makes a lot of sense vis-a-vis a balabas. The gabia tagar, avudi kamoivid, he's in the business of selling. He's selling barrels of wine. He's not losing by selling. Every time he sells another barrel, he's dancing with joy and he's so happy. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I made another sale. I'll be able to go and support my family. I'll be able to go and buy all the things that I need for Pesach or whatever. So there's a rich discussion about this svara of the Moichel Vudika. Moichel Vudika only applied to a private individual and not to a tagger. Anyway, right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einoi Noal the tagger. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no din of oina. What does that mean? Mishum shehu tagger Einoi Noal, just because he wears a tagger's hat that he's a merchant, I know it doesn't apply to him. Well, what's going on? Omer Nachman Omer Rav the tagger safser shon. Our Mishnah is talking about a particular type of tagger who's a safser. Safser in Hebrew is a middleman, but here it means not a middleman. It really means a person who is someone that buys and quickly sells. What's the name of a person like that?
Flipper.
Oh, flipper. Oh, Shkoyach Reb Chesky. We're talking about a flipper. What's a flipper? In the morning he went and bought an item and got a nice price on it, figuring that he's going to be able to resell it shortly to somebody else. And what happened? So you have a tagger, Safser Shanu. He knows exactly what the price is because he just bought it himself. And now he is reselling it. So what's the reason why there is no din of ayna? My timer, may the yoda zvinte kamishavya. He knows exactly how much is worth because he himself bought it 5 minutes ago. And now he's trying to flip it to somebody else. And what happens? What happens is that now, unfortunately, vis-a-vis this tagger, he has to sell it at a loss. Why is he selling at a loss? After all, the reason why he's a flipper is because he wants to sell it for a gain. V'chuli ochel gabe, and he's moichel on the loss that he's going to incur. V'hai dezavna, the reason why he's selling it ochi, v'shem disranyeleiz vintach riti, v'hashtemiyaka hoder be. Oh, so 9 o'clock in the morning, the person decided he's going to go and buy, yichweis, a silver cuss. This silver cuss he knows is worth $50. He was able to get it for $50. But he knows customers and he'll be able to sell it for $55 or $58, and he's going to make a profit on it. And that's what he intends doing. He intends flipping it. And then at 10 o'clock, somebody comes to him and says, you know what? I can sell you a kara for Pesach, and I got it at a fire sale. I can sell it to you very cheaply, and you'll be able to resell it for a very nice price. Oh, really? How much is it? And they negotiate. And then he says to himself, there's one problem. I don't have enough cash. I used up my cash this morning to buy that cost and to flip it. You know what? I'm going to go and sell it at a loss. I'll have the cash, buy the Seder Shishel, buy the Kara, and then I'll be able to sell it to somebody else at a greater markup, and therefore I'll be able to make more money. So it makes a lot of sense. So this tagger, who is a professional flipper, most of the time when he flips, he gets a nice profit. But unfortunately, in these types of occasions, when he needs the cash quickly and he doesn't have it, so he's going to have to go and sell it at himself at a loss. But he's moichel on the loss. He knows that he is losing out. He just paid for it $50 and now he's selling it for $45. He knows. But I need that $45 to be able to go and buy the Seder Kara. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, by a tagger, such a professional flipper, ain't lo yano. So Nachman, Rav Nachman, Rabbi Tagger, Sav Shoshon, my time, what's the reason why there's no din of ayna? Maybe the other Zvimte Kamishavi, he knows exactly how much the merchandise is worth, Vachuli Achel Gabein, he's selling it at a loss, he's moichel. Why is he Michael? Mishum Disram, he's been Tachriti. Because he has another item that he wants to buy and sell quickly. After all, he's constantly flipping. And now he has Charuta that he bought the first item because he wants to make more money on the second item. So that's Pshat number one. Ravashi Omar, I have a different Pshat. My in the tagger no, ain't a bit toyrus I know. What means ain't a bit toyrus I know? Shafilla pochel mechdeh no, choyzer. Even less than kdeh no, he can go and be choyzer. What does that mean, even less than kdeh no? Since if he was nis'ad, Rashi says, afilla pochel mechdeh no, middle of the omen. If nis'ana, if he loses out because he was underpaid, he was cheated, the chayiv fluyim bekach. After all, his life is on the limb, so to speak, And the Totnu Loi Shiachzer. So the Masaka that he can go and be Choyzer. Because of the fact that the Tagor is a, this is his livelihood. If he's going to lose money, then he will have really lost. And his whole business is because he is able to go and buy at wholesale prices and sell at retail prices. If he's going to lose out and sell at less than retail or less than even wholesale, at the end of the day, he's going to lose money. He won't be able to support his family. So Philip Pachzuch Deanor, when it says in the Mishnah, Tagar Engle Anor, according to Rav Yehuda, it's a chumrah that we're saying that vis-a-vis the Tagar, if he got underpaid even less than a shir Anor, only 10%, 5%, he was, should have sold this item for $6, and he sold it only for $5.50, even though the amount of Anor was the amount of that he got underpaid was less than a full shir Anor. Makes the difference choyzer because we have Rachmanasan. Tani Kibasar of Nachman, I'll bring a ride to the first pshat of Nachman of Yudah Omer, Tagar Inlo Eno Mishum Shehu Baki, because he knows what the price is, but he's a professional safsa, professional flipper, and the reason why he took less money is because he needs the money for another sale, or another purchase. And the Mishnah said, Mishahutal Olav Yodei Alu Hel Yoyna, whoever is the one that Hutal Olav, the one that was Nisana, he now has two options. We learned this Mishnah, you remember, at the Mishnah of Braisa at the tail end of yesterday's Daf. Irab Nosin Masnisin Katoni Rotza Ubraisa like Tani Rotza. Irab Nosin Masnisin Katoni Lekia Braisa Katoni Moicher. What does this mean? Please go back to the Braisa of yesterday, Nun Omid Beis, and you'll see it's about 10 lines from the bottom. Tanya Kabasi the Rava. I know pachas mishtus nick the mekach yes a shus bottle mekach shtus kana mas I know divrim nasim. Oh, so what's the din if it's exactly shtus, exactly a sixth kana the mekach is kana, in other words he gets the item or mas I know, and he only is entitled to get back the overcharge. In other words, not like our mishnah yoda alel yoina, the mekach is kana, we're done, the deal is closed, but he can get back his oina. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Oimer, no, Yad Moicha Alol Yoina, Roitza Oimer Leiten Le Mekhi, give me back my Mecca, give me back my merchandise. I tell me, Mashin Esani, you're going, give me back what I was cheated. And Zev is Zev, Ochne Shia, and the Tag Lekreif. Now, who is the town of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who's not the same as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Stam, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, so it's different Mandi Amar. And actually, I'm talking about Rabbi Yehuda. This last part of the Mishnah, Mishahutal Olav, is the Chayre anonymous. Rabbi Yehuda was only arguing legabe the Oino the Tagar, Eino no the Tagar. So the Mishahutal Olav, Yer Ali Oino, the last tikkun of Chayre is according to everybody. In other words, we don't find the machlokes. Now this Yoda Al Yoina of our Mishnah, the Chayre is the same as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He also says Yoda Al Yoina, but there's one problem. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is referring to the Moicher, Yad Moicher Alel Yoina. He says it explicitly, Yad Moicher. And he also says, Roitza Oimelei Tenli Mechi. The Moicher can say, give me back my merchandise, and I'll give you back your money. Or give me the amount that you underpaid me. So that's the case of the price. The case of our Mishnah, we're talking about not the Moicher, we're talking about the Lekeach. How do I know? Because the Lekeach says, Tenli Mozei, give me back my money, you overcharge me. So the Mishnah, we're talking about a Lekeach, the Brice is talking about a Moichet. Zokti Gemari, yes? Mani Masisin, who's our Mishnah? Lerim Nas, Lerim Yehuda Nas. Irem Nasin, Masisin Ktani Rotza. In our Mishnah it says Rotza, meaning, Mishi Yodei Al Halyoina Rotza, Oimali Ten, Li Mo'oisai, or tenli mashanisani, that's the ratza. Ubrais like tani ratza. In the Brice it says that the mekach is kayim and he only gets back his oinah. So obviously, that cannot be, the Mishnah can't call like Rav Nosson. Here, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, masisik tani lekeach, and Brice like tani moicher. So again, there's a disconnect. So, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? L'chayre, neither Rav Nosson nor Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
What mean Rutsa? The other shita here in the Yimbal Korchach?
Nachum.
What's the kashya from Rutsa?
Rutsa is, in our Mishnah it says, Rutsa, oimele tenli ma'oise, tenli ma'ashe nisani. The word Rutsa is like Yudah al-Yoyna. then he has a choice to say either give me back my money or give me back the overcharge. Mm-hmm. But the Braisa, Reb Nusin said, the only thing you get is Masreina. Shtus Kana, the Mekach is Kana, Masreina. So you don't have that Rutsa of, yeah, that he has Mishi Yuda Al Yoyna. It's only, you only get back your Aino. And our Misha says, Yuda Al Yoyna. In fact, Yimura, neither Reb Nusin nor Reb Yudan. See, everything more of 40 roots. Simon Zab Rash. Zain is from the Zain of Reb Luzar. The Beis is from the next Mandiyom of Rabba, Beis of Rabba. Then Rash, the other Reish, is going to be Rava. And then Shin is going to be Reb Ashi, as we'll see. So I'm Reb Luzar. I know Azu, Eini Yodea Mishana. Reb Luzar threw up his hands and says, you know, the Kasha that you asked me, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? I have no idea. It's not Reb Nosson, it's not Reb Yudan Nossi, and I didn't find anybody else. Ich weiß nicht. I don't know who the Mishnah is like. Rabba Omar, Rabba's giving out the second tariff. It's Reb Nosson of the Brice. Utini Nami Bebrice, and you have to throw into the Brice the word Ratza. You have to do a little surgery in the Brice, because the Brice just says, Kana Umasraina. What you have to do is you have to throw in and say Ratza. If he wants to, Yod Alal Yoyna, tell me Ma'oisa. Or if not, tell me Masha Nisani. So you have to add those words. So what's the difference between Reb Nosson and Yudan Nossi? Yudan Nossi already says, Rutza Oymaloi Tanli Michi. So says Rashi, the machlekes will be that Reb Nosson is talking about a lekeach, and Reb Yudan Nossi is talking about a moicher. By lekeach, look at the Tanakama, Kona and Rotza, if you want to, you can take the Aino, but if you want to, you can go and say, give me back my money. That's what Reb Nosson says, according to Rabba. And Reb Yudan Nossi says, either only by Meicher or also by Meicher. The same halacha applies of Rotza, Oimli Ten Michi, or Tenli Meicher Nisani. Rava Amal Eulam Reb Yudan Nossi, our Mishnah Reb Yudan Nossi, my Dishan, but Masisa Kamafarish Bebraisa. Rava's Teretz is the easiest Teretz, and he's saying, Rabbi Yehuda Nossi in the Braisa was talking about a Moicher. Our Mishnah is talking about Eloi Keach. And the reason why Rabbi Yehuda Nossi in the Braisa said Moicher is to fill in a gap in our Mishnah. What's the gap? Because the Mishnah begins, Echad HaLekeach, V'yechad HaMoicher Yeshvan Anod. The Halacha is the same by Lekeach and Moicher. And then at the end we say, Mishahut Olav Yod HaAlal Yoyna. And we're only talking about the Lekeach that says, Tell me Mo'isa, give me back my money. What about the Moicher who says, Tenli Mekhi? Oh, that's what we have in the Braisa, to fill in that blank in our Mishnah. But they're really one and the same on the Yom. And of course, the Mishnayos were codified by Yudan Nossi, so it makes sense that Yudan Nossi is consistent in both Mishnah and Braisa. The Mishnah is more succinct, more brief, and leaves out the Moicher case. But in the Braisa, he says, and don't forget the Moicher, the same thing applies. Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi now is supporting what Rava just said. Deikanami, I have a right. Dektani, the Mishnah begins. Like we just said. And at the end of the Mishnah it says, which is a lekeach case. So we see that the Mishnah left out the moicher case, and Rav Yudan Nossi filled it in the price. Okay, now that we've finished the Mishnah and the discussion, now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. And we mentioned already earlier on in the shir, and that is what happens, you have now a contract to go and buy or sell goods, and the Moicher writes into the contract in Sif Katan, in the 17th paragraph, that by the way, if I am overcharging you, you're Moicher on the Oino, you're moichel on the overcharge, you're not going to show it to the Tagger or your Korav, and even if you do, and you're going to come back and you're going to scream, Chai V'Kayim, it's not going to help you, because you're agreeing in advance to a waiver on Hilchos Oino. Can you do something like that? Are you being Masna al Masha Kosev Ba'Teira? And that's now Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. Itmar. Ha'im L'Chaber. The Moicher says to Lekech, or Lekech says to the Moicher, Amra she'en lecha olai eino. You promise and you commit yourself not to have any complaints to Gabi eino. You're not going to take me to Bezdin that I've undercharged or underpaid. What's the deal? Rav Omer yesh le olav eino. That sif that you just added, that paragraph is worthless. The Torah says you're not allowed to go and be ma'ana someone, so you cannot go and waive those rights and say, no, 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 no. Torah says is a din ayna, whether you like it or not. No, you have the right to go and waive those rights. Says the Gemara, we have a famous machloikis about being masa masha kosa da Torah. Leimer av di yomek reb Meir, ushmul di yomek reb Yehuda, desanya. What's the famous machloikis? Oim le'isha, hariyat mekudesh esli, amanasha, ein loch alai, sher ksus li'oyna. Echusa says to Akala, here I'm putting the ring on your finger, hariyat mekudesh esli, kidas moishu v'yisrael, almanas. But on one condition, and that is, although I know mena Torah, I have to supply to you, sher ksus li'oyna, She'er, it's a machloik is back in the Sechus Kedushin, exactly what She'er means, but the normal pshat that people say, She'er means food, Ksus means clothing, Vo'oina, that's Tashmish, living together. So, I am being Mekadesh you, on the Almanas, that you waive these three obligations that I have as a husband. Harizim Mekadeshes, it works, meaning what works. The Kedushin is Chal, Utanoi Batal, and Tanai falls away. That sif cotton that he added by saying amanash ein lecha alai, you delete those words gunish mit gunish, and they're a regular husband and wife, and he has to supply to her ksus va'ina because he be masna masha kosev ba'toira. It's but different. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says it depends. The first two, the she'er and the ksus, which is the food and the clothing, that's the davar shebemamay. And therefore, if the kala happens to be independently wealthy, she can be moichel and say, yeah, I don't need your food, I don't need your clothing, or Hashem, I got plenty of money, that's fine. So tenoy kai. On the oina, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rameir, you're mas mashakos in the Torah, and therefore he has to supply the oina, whether he likes it or not. Okay, so now Rav, that says over here, yesh loy olav oino, that you cannot waive your oino rights because you're entitled to it in the Torah. You're being mas mashakos in the Torah. So he's saying just like the mayor, that the Tanai is bottle, and the oino is intact, that you have a right to complain. A Yehuda that says, v'dav shemomet Tanai kayim, that's by Shmuel, that if you put in such a waiver provision, such an almanaz, it works. And that's why, just like it works over there, Tanoi Kaim, here too, he wrote in Ein Olei Olav Eino, it works. So, Rav, Kameir, Shmuel's like Rav Yehuda. I can be consistent with Rav Yehuda. When you have the case of Yehuda, he is saying very explicitly, listen, Shprinza, we're getting married. She hears it very quickly and she says, "Yo, I am maskil." So on the oina, you cannot waive those rights because that's not in yoni mamoy. But the other two, she waived, and it works. So says Rav, I agree with that. I will hear in our case about the oina. He thinks to himself, yeah, this is kind of when the standard boilerplate, if you've ever read a contract from beginning to end, after paragraph number 3 or 4, all of the rest is just boilerplate that you have in every single contract. So in paragraph number 27, it says on the bottom, she'ein lei olav eino. He says, ah, come on, there's no eino over here. I mean, I know the price, and he knows the price. Yeah, there's no eino. And then only subsequently finds out that there was eino. Ooh, the only reason why I did the deal, because I thought there was no overcharge. If I would know an overcharge, I never would agree to that. So therefore, that paragraph is bottle, says Rav. And if Rabbi Yehuda would agree, miyoda demachal, did he know that there's really eino? In the case of the Kiddushin, she heard very clearly, no she'er, no ksus. I'm masking. Over here, when he wrote into the contract, no din of eino, he's not going to be mad at me. He's a nice guy. He's my friend for the last 50 years. He's going to cheat me. Ah, chuli lebachas. Shmuel Amar, I know the army can fill it a mayor. I can elect a mayor too. I can become a mayor. Hossam el devadi ka'oka. Here I know for sure he's being oika, because he says very clearly, no she'er, no ksus, no oina. Says Ramey, in such a case, you must mashakos in batoira to no oid bottom. Who says he's going to be oiker? He threw in that provision for extra protection. But who says he's going to be oiker? And therefore, even according to a mayor, says Shmuel, the Tanoi Kayim, it would work. Omrav Onan, the Didim of Ashur Minei Demar Shmuel, based on what I heard from Shmuel and what we learned in the yeshiva, we have now two separate halachas. Halacha number one, we're agreeing to this deal on the stipulation, on the condition, that you won't have tainus avayna, only ol avayna. That's what we just said on the Yomid Aleph. That's what Shmuel holds, that you can be masna by dover shabim mamay, even though you masna mashakosu b'tayra, but you have a right to waive your monetary rights. However, says Rav Onan, even Shmuel would agree if you wrote in the document al manash ein boy oyna, I'm selling it to you with the condition that there is no oyna. In other words, he's making a representation that I'm giving you fair price, not a penny more, or at least not a shtus more. In that case, ariyesh boy oyna, even Shmuel would agree that if you did overcharge, then you're going to have to go and suffer the consequences. Either if you hold like our Mishnah, that you can go and say the Ratza Yod Alal Yoyna Ratza Imle Ten Moisay Ten Yimash and Sani. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? The Reisha means there might be Ainoa here, but are you willing to waive it? And he says, yes, I'm willing to waive it. So Imle Olav Aino, he waived his rights. The Sefer case is not that he is asking him for a waiver, but he's making a representation that this item that I'm selling to you, there is no Aino in this item. In other words, I'm giving you the fair price, the market price. If it turns out that he overcharged him, then yesh po Aino. Freit mar mei svei, ha noisen va noisen va amono, vo ime la chavir amon ha shein lecho olai Aino, ein lei olav Aino. What means ha noisen va noisen va amono? So Rashi tells us, this is talking about an individual who has a bunch of schoira. Gemara later on is going to talk about, for instance, barrels of wine. So he hands over to someone. He says, I have 10 barrels of wine. I'm giving these to you. Try to get the best price possible in the marketplace. Of course, don't overcharge people, but go and get the best price that you can, and then come back in a month from now, and I'm going to go and pay you for your labors. I'll pay you every day $10 a day, $50 a week, whatever they make up. But let's look at Rashi. Rashi is about 2-3 lines higher. I give you a whole shipment, 10 barrels of wine, 50 barrels of wine. Sell them for whatever, the best price you can. And at the end of Zman Ploini, after a month, 6 months, give me the money that you were able to receive by selling the wine. I trust you. Whatever you can get. If you can get $40 a barrel, $100 a barrel, whatever the market allows, please, I trust you. I'm not going to ask you for a detailed din v'cheshbon. And of course, I'm going to give you schar tercha, whatever they make up, whether he's going to give him $10 a day, $100 a week, whatever it is. Kidla kamon, like we'll see in the Gemara later on. Okay. So now, what happens? Even though the braisa sounds vihu oimer, like it's a new case, the way Rashi is learning it is that it's also a continuation of the noisim and noisim baman. It's a general rule. It's a general rule, but also it applies in particular to the case of the noisim and noisim baman. How does it apply in particular to that case? So if you look at the next Rashi, he tells the person that supplied the barrels of wine to the fellow who is selling the wine, and at the end of a month he says, okay, no, give me the receipts. He gives the receipts. Hey, for 50 bottles of wine, I would expect, or 50 barrels of wine, I expect that each one you'd sell for $50. 50 times 50 is 2,500. You only give me 2,300. You only give me 2,000. Oy, oy, oy. I'm getting underpaid, and therefore I want you to go and pay me the additional amount up to the 2,500. Or if I can't, if Mocha Zebedom Ram, he's expecting $50 a barrel, and he sold 50 barrels, 2,500, and Baruch Hashem, he was so successful, and he made 2,700. Einze Yocholoymer, the seller, his representative who was selling, his agent, cannot say, Loy Etein Eladom, if I'm going to give you the 2,500, I'm going to keep the extra 200. So that's what it means here in this price, when it says, Almanash She'ein Lecho Alay Oino, that they agreed in advance that regardless of how much you're going to sell them for, like the Rashi said before, Mechor Bameshet Tuchel, sell them at the best price that you can possibly sell them. If it turns out that the seller, the owner of the original barrels, is disappointed, okay, I feel bad for him, that Nebuch, he didn't get the 2,500 he was expecting. On the other hand, if the agent was able to sell it for 2,700, then he gets the full 2,700. There's no oinah in this deal between the owner of the barrels of wine and the agent that sold them. Whatever they made up, whatever you can sell it for, I get that price, I get those proceeds, and I'll pay you for your tercha, for your work. But what do I see from this price? I see very clearly that if you make up that you can waive the rights of Aina. Now who is the one that said that? That was Shmuel on the Amud Aleph. Shmuel said if you make a statement but Rav disagreed. Now the Rav, the Omar, so you can go and say, alright, but there's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and Rav holds like Rav Meir. There's one problem. The Rav, the Omar, no, the Amir Phil, Rav Yehuda, back on the Omar Aleph, Rav said, I can hold not only like Rav Meir, but Rav Yehuda too. I hold like everybody. So how many? So then, who is the man, the Omar, that says, Al Menashe, Ein Lecha Olai, I know, Ein Le Olav, I know. I haven't found any Tana that holds that. I find Shmuel that holds that. But neither Rav Meir nor Rav Yehuda hold that, because Rav says, they all agree to me. That if you're right, Al Menashe, Ein Lecha Olai, I know, Yesh Le Olav, I know. I have a Befeir Shakasha from this brisa on Rav. What we have to go and say is that Rav will have to withdraw his comment that I can hold even like Rabbi Yehuda. No, we see very clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Shmuel. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you make a stipulation on Menashe, Ein Lecha Olai Oino, it's effective to Noi Kayim and Ein Loi Olav Oino. It's not a kasha Rav. Rav says, I hold like Rabbi Meir. This price is like Rabbi Yehuda. Nishka problem. But Rav can no longer say that I also hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That's a biased explanation. Rav Amalai Kasha Tanishver. This Rav can still say that I hold both like Rav Meir and like Rav Yehuda. I despise this Amanash Eimbayana. Kam Bistan, Kam Bimifarish. What means Kam Bistan, Kam Bimifarish? If you just wrote in the document Amanash She'im Lecha Alai Oino, standard boilerplate provision, he doesn't expect that there's going to be Oino. He agrees to those terms. Says Rav, if afterwards he finds that there was Oino, Yesh loy olav aina, because he wasn't really agreeing to a waiver, he just assumed that there is no overcharge. Kam mafarish, mafarish means he tells him very clearly, I want you to know, the standard price on this cost is $6. I'm charging you $7.50. Are you in agreement? I'm selling it to you, Amanasha, Ein Lecha Olai aina, don't come back to me, don't go to a Tagger, don't go to Bezdin. Are you agreeing? In this case, says Rava, even Rav would agree. If it's been Mafarish, and he writes, I know that there is Aino, but I waive it, Rav will agree that you can waive it. This Aino. The Medva Mamurim, when did we say that there is a din of Aino, Lekech, and Moichir, Moichir, and Lekech? The Stam. If it's Stam a case that you wrote as a waiver, by the way, if there's any overcharge, we both waive. Al Mafarish, but he tells him clearly, I am overcharging you. I'm telling you, such as this, I'm selling it to you for 200. I know that the real market price is only 100, but I want to sell it for 200. Do you agree to those terms? And if he agrees, then there's nothing he can do. He agreed, he waived his rights. I want to pay you $100. I know that in the marketplace it's $200. Do you agree to the sale? Yes or no? And if the guy says, well, I'm desperate for cash, I have to sell, I'm going to lose money, but I need $100. See, right? So according to Rava, even Rav would agree, or could agree. And if it's befeirish, I know that there's an overcharge. I know it's costing more money. It should only be 100. I'm paying 200. It should be 100. I'm only paying 50. But do you waive your rights? I waive them. Even Rav would agree. You can waive if it's mafurish. You know for sure that there is in fact. I know, and he agrees. Tanur Rabban. Since we spoke about the noisim and noisim mamana, the Gemara now explores this a little bit more. Again, you have the seller who owns the barrels of wine, and he's selling them through an agent, and he's saying to agent, sell them, get the money, give it to me, and I'll pay you a wage. So what does it say in the Brice? I know you've been listening to Amana. Hari zelo yichoshim esara ba'amana v'esayofa b'shova. Al oize v'ze ba'amana oize v'ze b'shova. What is this all about? The way Rashi learns Pshat is that we have a potential hidden ribbis situation. What's the hidden ribbis situation? When you're going and selling something b'shova, that means you're selling it for the right price. When you're selling it ba'amana, that means that you sell it for the best that you can over time. So Rashi explains that we're talking about that the wine seller gives two barrels of wine to his agent. And he says, agent, I want you to go and sell these two barrels of wine. By the way, this barrel of wine, the first one, is the best wine in the world. Mamish, it's really great. You'll have no difficulty in selling it. Maybe you'll have one purchaser who will buy the whole barrel, or you'll have 50 people online, each bringing their bottles to fill. Within a day, you're going to sell the entire barrel. The other one, unfortunately, is Shvacha wine, and you're going to have to wait a while until you have enough people to go and buy that wine. And it might take you a month. You know what? I'll make up the following deal. Instead of giving you a wage or giving you a fee or whatever, I'm going to allow you to hold on to the yofa monies. In other words, the first barrel that you'll sell in a day, you can hold on to those funds for a month, for 2 months. You can invest those funds, you can buy and sell, and do whatever you want with them. And eventually you'll sell out the ra. It'll take you a month or two. And at the end of the day, when we're all finished, then you'll return to me the yofa bishava. In other words, the amount that it normally costs. Let's assume that the yofa costs $100 a barrel, you give me the $100. And the ra, you give me whatever you can go and buy, whatever you can sell it for. I know that there's not going to be an easy market for it, so I give it to you by mana, I give you full emuna, full faith and trust in you. You'll sell it for the best price possible, and you'll give me the money at the end of the month or 2 months or whatever it is. And I'll manas that I'm not going to give you a wage. I'm just going to, you'll give me the monies at that time. So the fact that you have the shova monies, which you're going to get on the first day, and you can hold on to it for a month or two, and I'm not going to demand immediate payment. So that's, the Gemara considers to be a hidden form of interest, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, which is parallel to our Gemara. Parishas, like we saw the Rashi earlier. Hamtonas mo'ois, that the waiting on the money, in other words, that he doesn't demand getting the money back immediately, but you can hold on to them until you sell both barrels. So Rashi explains, Hamtonas mo'ois hayofa b'schar terchoi. Don't use the hamtonas mois, the fact that you're holding on to these funds and that you can go and invest them and sell them and buy and go and do and trade and blah blah blah. That will be your schar tircha. In other words, if you'd go to the bank and you wanted to have money for a month or two, guess what? It would go and cost you kach v'kach. It would cost you interest, 8%, 10%. I'm not going to charge you any interest. You can use those monies, no problem. But instead of schar tirchoi, I'm not going to go and give you a wage, because you're getting a tremendous boon from me that you can use these monies and do whatever you want. Keep going. He had, let's say, two barrels. The yofa, sheyesh le'olav koitzim lelokhoi v'basachas. You're going to have people that are willing to buy the whole thing at one time. Or, you know, one, two, three, one day, you'll sell the whole thing out. Varash in a nimka lebchanut, that you're going to have to sell slowly in a store, where every single day another person will come, he'll buy one bottle, the next day another bottle. Lo yoyim uloy har lecha yofa b'shav yoy. Go and give me back the amount of yofa b'shav yoy, the price that we agreed to, that's the stated price, not more, not less, b'shav yoy, the normal price. Don't tell him that, amanas. On the condition, shetimkar li hara b'chanut, kam shetuchal, you'll sell the other one, get the best price possible. When you finish off selling both barrels, tell me Moishneim, then just give me back the money that you sold before for both barrels. And he patters himself. In other words, the seller is going to save, because of the Hamtonis Mois, that he allows the agent to hold on to these monies for the month or two. That he didn't insist on getting the money up front right now. The hipatizem, we lost his chartirchoi. al hara, that he's not going to pay him for the schatircha that the other guy, Nebuch, was holding on to this barrel, the second barrel, it took him a month or 2 months to sell it. Val karibis and nifas, says Rashi, it's like a hidden form of interest, and that is prohibited. By the way, a lot of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, because they say if that's what our Gemara is talking about, because ribis, this should be in the next parak, in Ezeo Neshech, which is the famous ribis parak, and not in Azov, which is the Oino'a parak. So, other Rishonim have a different pshat in the Gemara, but we're learning with Rashi that we have a ribis situation. So again, Tanurban, Hanois Hanois Mamana. You make up, the seller gives to the agent the barrels of wine. Hazalei Choshvis Rab Amana. Don't say, hold on to the ran, sell it to Bislach over time, and I trust you, you'll get the best price possible. There's the Yofi B'Shov, and the Yofi you're going to be able to sell 1, 2, 3 instantaneously, and you give me the money. But don't give it to me now. You'll give it to me in a month, 2 months, when you're finished selling both. Ella, oizeh v'zeh b'amana, oizeh v'zeh b'shov. Both of them should have the same din. In other words, I trust you on both. Go and sell them at the best price possible. Or zeh v'zeh b'shov. Or go and sell them for the following price. And that's the amount that you're going to pay me at the end. And I'm going to go and give you a fee for the schar tircha. And part of the deal has to be that he's paying for the agent's expenses. What are the overhead expenses? If you have to hire someone to go and schlep, a mover to go and schlep these barrels of wine from here to there, or schar gamel, maybe you'll have to go and put in the back of a camel and you'll need to pay for a camel driver, or schar pundak, you might have to go and sell this bimerchakim, you can't sell it locally here in Manhattan or Brooklyn, you're going to have to move and sell it in Lakewood, and you're going to have to stay in Lakewood for a month to sell it all, then he's going to have to pay those overhead expenses. But you don't have to go and pay him schar atzmai, which means you don't have to pay him a wage. Why? He already paid him. You haven't even told me what the wage is yet. What are you talking about? Rapapa says Rapapa, Bitsidruye. Remember Sidruye we had on the Omid Aleph? Those were the canvas garments, like canvas shoes, things of that nature. What's the din over there? Tihavi Arba Lameya, that he gives him automatically if he, the seller, gives the agent, the marshal, 100 canvas pairs of shoes to sell. He says, you can keep 4 for yourself. Or he sells them canvas suits. You can keep 4 for yourself, and then either use them for yourself or you'll sell it for yourself. So that was the wage, the 4%. Here in the case of the 2 barrels of wine, he told him you can take 4%. In other words, if each barrel produces 50 bottles of wine, 2 barrels produce 100 bottles, you can take the last 4 bottles for yourself, and that's going to be your schar. But the important thing is, make sure that you don't have any hidden interest factor over here, because that's prohibited misham ribis, and therefore pay your wage and don't get any benefit from the hamtonas mois. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisrael. Have a beautiful Shabbos. Mi'at Hashem.